This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Christians targeted in Pakistan. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka. On this Monday, March 28, glad you could be with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A suicide bomber has killed at least 70 people who were celebrating Easter at a park in the city of Lahore.
The total number of Americans killed in the terror attacks in Brussels has risen to 4.
On the campaign trail, John Kasich is the only governor remaining in the presidential field. What are the 7 other governors and former governors doing these days?
And how self-driving cars are closer to mass reality than you might think.
There's already a fair amount of what you can fairly call self-driving technology that's showing up in cars.
Yahoo Finance writer Rick Newman on the vehicle technology that brings autonomous cars closer and closer. He's here in about 25 minutes. More than 5 dozen people, most of them Christian women and children, have been killed by a suicide bomber in Pakistan while celebrating Easter at a park in Lahore. More than 300 others were injured in last night's attack. The BBC's Shaima Khalil is there.
We've been speaking to mothers, to parents who basically say, we know our children are dead, but we just cannot find their bodies. Others just don't know what happened to their relatives. All of this, of course, as the authorities vow to hunt down those who are responsible for the attack.
A splinter group of the Pakistani Taliban claimed responsibility. The group's spokesman reportedly called NBC News from an undisclosed location to say that it was his group who carried out the attack. Asked whether women and children were their target, the Taliban spokesman said they were not on their list and that they were targeting, quote, male members of the Christian community. The spokesman added that this was the first of a series of attacks the group had planned this year in different parts of the country. 2 more Americans have been confirmed dead in last week's terrorist attacks in Brussels, bringing the total number of Americans killed there to 4. Media reports say Justin and Stephanie Schultz, who had moved to Belgium in 2014, were killed. Justin was from Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Stephanie was from Lexington, Kentucky. Both were accountants. Stephanie's aunt, Betty Newsom, spoke with the Lexington, Kentucky TV station WTVQ.
You don't know why these things happen, but I know that Stephanie had a very strong belief in God, and Stephanie's in heaven.
Also, 2 Dutch siblings who lived in New York and hoped to become American citizens were among the dead. Sasha and Alexander Pinchowski were at the airport to catch a return flight to their adopted home. Belgian authorities, meanwhile, conducted 13 searches in Brussels and other areas yesterday. The attacks last Tuesday killed 31 and injured nearly 300. Well, as Belgian police delve into the backgrounds of the men behind Tuesday's attacks in Brussels, they are encountering a pattern familiar to investigators in Paris and other European cities targeted by the Islamic State terrorists. The shock troops used in the terrorist group's signature attacks are largely men already well known to local law enforcement, not as religious radicals, but as criminals. It's a story from Washington Post reporter Greg Miller. Greg, what have you uncovered?
Well, I mean, I think we're seeing a fundamental sort of shift in the recruiting and motivation of Islamist terrorists. So, I mean, we all think back to 9/11 and the plotters in the Hamburg cell who carried out that plot. Many of them came from pretty solid backgrounds. They were attending university in Germany. I mean, this is a completely different group of people behind these attacks in Paris and Belgium. They're deeply tied into criminal networks in Brussels, and many of them have criminal convictions in their backgrounds.
All right, so does this then change the prevention thinking for authorities?
It does in some ways. I mean, the amazing part is that almost all these attackers in Brussels and Paris, in some way or another, were already known to authorities, mainly as criminals, not as religious radicals. And I think that there's going to be a lot of pressure on security agencies in Europe to really expand their surveillance of these not only the sort of religious networks, the Islamist networks in these cities and these European capitals, but the criminal networks that support them.
Mm. All right. Anybody saying, Greg, that this is surprising?
Well, I mean, I think that it's not surprising in that the very leadership and the origins of the Islamic State are criminal in nature and thuggish in nature. I mean, the Islamic State traces its origin back to a figure, a Jordanian, Zarqawi, who was just a violent thug, you know, much more in line with sort of a street gang figure than the kind of, you know, Osama bin Laden or Zawahiri figure that we'd associated with al-Qaeda.
So is Belgium then more susceptible to, say, having street gangs tapped by ISIS than other countries?
I think it's clear that Belgium is more susceptible, and it's partly because there is just a section of the city that has been a breeding ground for decades now, a place where there's a substantial Muslim population that is alienated from the rest of society, that has much higher unemployment rates than the rest of society. But it's also because the Belgian security services are widely regarded as ineffective, much less effective than their neighbors in Germany, in France, in the UK.
We're speaking with Greg Miller, national security correspondent at The Washington Post. In the piece, you said some European officials say the perpetrators in the most recent attack, meaning in Brussels, appear to be part of a new wave of recruits that are not, quote, radical Islamists, but rather Islamized radicals. Meaning what?
Meaning that they're already societal radicals in the sense that they're already criminals. They are already committed to breaking society's laws. They're committed to, they have histories of violence. So they are outliers already. And then you add the layer of religion to that. The religion component, in some cases, introduces additional danger. It convinces these guys that maybe it's worth even losing their own lives in a spectacular attack. So it's a reversing of the order. I mean, in the past, we'd often seen deeply religious males become increasingly violent, convinced that they're through these extreme interpretations of Islam that violence was necessary. In this case, it's the opposite. They start violent and then they become religious.
So what do we do with this? What does law enforcement in general do with this information as this stuff begins to emerge?
Well, I think that there is, as I said, there's going to be a lot of pressure on security services in Europe to expand. I mean, one of the biggest problems facing Europe right now is just the numbers. They are overwhelmed. These security services are overwhelmed. They are too small to have the resources to keep all of these fighters who are coming back from Syria under the surveillance that is required to prevent an attack like this. I mean, it's astonishing to us in the United States that somebody who was the most wanted suspect in Europe, tied to the Paris attacks 4 months ago, could be hiding in the very neighborhood where he grew up for 4 months and then carry out a plot like this.
Thanks, Greg. Greg Miller, Washington Post reporter. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. Our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to Harry's.com right now and enter code 4000 at checkout. That's Harry's.com, code 4000.
Thanks for joining us on this Monday. The feud continues between Republican presidential candidates Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. Mr. Trump, the New York businessman, accused Mr. Cruz of trying to steal Republican convention delegates from him, while the Texas senator responded by saying Mr. Trump is afraid to debate because he knows so little about the issues. On ABC's This Week, Mr. Trump again blamed Mr. Cruz for a Super PAC ad showing a nearly nude photo of his wife, former model Melania Trump.
There's no way in a million years that Super PAC did that without his absolute knowledge. Don't forget, I call him Lion Ted. I call him that because nobody that I've known a lot tougher people over the years in business, but I've never known anybody that lied like Ted Cruz.
Meanwhile, on Fox News Sunday, Mr. Cruz accused the Trump campaign of engineering a National Enquirer story, saying that the senator is being investigated for extramarital affairs.
It is a sign of just how scared Donald is right now because he doesn't want to discuss the substance. In fact, Shannon, that's why he's afraid to debate, why he refuses to debate, because when he debates, his lack of understanding of the challenges facing America becomes evident for everyone to see.
Ohio Governor John Kasich, meanwhile, told NBC's Meet the Press that families should be off limits in campaigns, and he expressed regret over the tone of the Republican race. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Britain police in at least four countries have arrested new suspects in the Paris and Brussels terrorist attacks. As memorials in central Brussels to the victims of Tuesday's bombings were briefly overrun by hooligans yesterday. Brussels Police Commissioner Christian De Koninck says protesters on the far right brandished flares and threw water bottles at peaceful demonstrators who were holding banners proclaiming unity.
We had 340 hooligans coming from different football clubs who came to Brussels, and we knew for sure that they would create some troubles here.
Those gathered to honor the dead from Tuesday's attacks included blonde, blue-eyed Belgians, Muslim women with their heads covered, and dark-haired men from Belgium's large Moroccan community. A Frenchman has been taken into custody in Rotterdam on suspicion of being involved in planning a terrorist attack. The 32-year-old man was arrested yesterday at the request of French authorities. Residents nearby were evacuated as police carried out a raid, taking three other men into custody. A breakaway Pakistani faction of the militant Taliban group has claimed responsibility for a bombing yesterday that killed at least 70 people gathered in a park in Lahore. The BBC's Shema Khalil's on the scene.
This happened in a park with families, women, and children celebrating Easter, spending a Sunday afternoon in one of the busiest and most vibrant cities in the country, the capital of Punjab government, which, of course, is the home constituency of the Prime Minister's party.
The U.S. State Department condemned the act, calling it cowardly. Mother Mary Angelica of the Annunciation, founder of the Catholic TV powerhouse EWTN, died Easter Sunday at age 92. Mother Angelica became what would become the Eternal World Television Network in Irondale, Alabama, in 1981 with $200, 12 nuns, and little television experience. And maybe cats really do have nine lives. A tough Siamese cat named Cupcake survived 8 days cooped up in a box after accidentally being sent through the mail by her British owners. Cupcake was in a box with an order of DVDs that was mailed across England. The recipient found a badly dehydrated cat in the box who needed treatment, but she's expected to fully recover.
That's typical cat, is it not?
Get in a box.
Gets in the box.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Then they sealed the thing up and shipped it?
I know. It's awful.
Holy cow.
But she's going to be okay.
All right. Thank you, Jen. It's 23 minutes now after the hour. On this morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you're with us. In our presidential history, Americans have elected plenty of former or current governors as president, one of the more popular paths to the White House, right? This year, 8 former or current Republican governors ran for president, most of them thinking executive experience would pay off, but only Ohio Governor John Kasich remains. What happened to their campaigns, and what are they doing now? Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Heather Haddon. Heather set this up.
Governors are typically a road to the presidency, so 17 of our past presidents were governors, past or current, when they ran for office and before ascending to the White House. This year, not so much. We all look to Donald Trump for changing the rules of the election this year, but it seems to be true in the case of governors as well. So,
all right. So before we get into that, what has happened to that gubernatorial path to the White House?
You follow the race. I mean, policy and experience really just has not been seen as an asset this year. You know, the senators, if anything, are running away from their Washington experience, trying to emphasize that they are outsiders. Governor Kasich has not, but, you know, he's barely holding on. Those qualities of governors, you know, leadership, executive experience, you know, ability to pass a budget, do sort of these day-to-day things. As a state executive, voters just aren't interested. So, you know, the Republican side is, it's really about the outsider candidacy of Donald Trump this year. I mean, who's to say if that's going to be a legacy of Donald Trump? I think it's still too early to say, but for this year, it wasn't in the cards for governors.
All right. We're speaking with Heather Haddon, Wall Street Journal reporter. Her piece is called State House to White House, Not So Easy. All right, so what are some of these governors who dropped out of the Republican presidential race doing now?
Yeah, it was interesting. So I surveyed all seven of them. Among those who are no longer sitting governors, Jeb Bush has basically just said, I'm going back home to Florida to spend some time with family, go to the gym. Rick Perry, he's endorsed Ted Cruz and is stumping for him, but is also doing a bit of lobbying. And then for the sitting governors, they come back to, Scott Walker and Chris Christie, some pretty big headaches. Their poll numbers took huge hits while they were away, so both of them are in the 30s or below on poll numbers in the state. And, big fiscal situations to deal with, transportation funds that they need to fund, budgets that they need to pass. And while they were away campaigning, politicians sort of were doing their own thing, including amongst their own parties.
Thanks, Heather. Wall Street Journal reporter Heather Haddon. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Some people really hate doing their taxes. Did you know that all identity thieves need to file a fake tax return is your Social Security number and your date of birth? It's that easy. Nearly $6 billion in fraudulent tax refunds got paid out in a single year recently due to identity theft. Identity thieves can also use information from your tax documents to commit other crimes, like draining your bank accounts. Free credit monitoring won't do anything to help fix an identity theft problem, but LifeLock will. If you're a victim of identity theft, LifeLock's team of specialists here in the U.S. will work to resolve your case, and you'll get peace of mind now and all year long. Memberships start at just $9.99 a month, plus applicable taxes. Call 800-916-7170 or visit LifeLock.com now and use promo code Gordon. That's promo code Gordon to save 10% on your membership. 800-916-7170. That's 800-916-7170.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Monday, March 28th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: more than 70 dead after a suicide bomber targeted Christians in Pakistan. The number of Americans dead from the terror attacks in Brussels has risen to 4. Bernie Sanders swept 3 weekend caucuses. A volcano in Alaska's Aleutian Islands spewed ash 20,000 feet into the air yesterday. A wildfire that burned 400,000 acres in Oklahoma and Kansas has been slowed by snowfall. Parents ruined it for kids at an Easter egg hunt in Connecticut. The Final Four is set with a mix of good news and bad news. That story in about 20 minutes. With the recent protests and fists flying at presidential campaign rallies and now major terror attacks overseas in the past couple of months, security has become a hot topic for planners of the Republican National Convention this summer. Still, Anna Palmer at Politico reports convention organizers and security officials say they're ready to execute a plan that was in the works for some time. Anna, what are we looking at?
A really interesting time, right, when you consider all of what was happening before Brussels and some of the terrorist attacks that have been happening over the past several months. So the kind of the global context, there's these kind of crises happening. And then you also have tense protests, fights breaking out at Donald Trump rallies. And so you kind of put that both in a cauldron and look to this convention that's going to be in Cleveland. And I think, the security planning has already been underway, and they're kind of looking through very meticulously how are they going to address potential, mass riots and other, even a terrorist attack.
Right. All right. So I imagine this requires a lot of coordination. You got individual presidential candidate security officials, right? Bodyguards. You got, I would presume, Cleveland Municipal Police. I don't know, county folks are involved, state police, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So you have everybody, the Secret Service is kind of the point law enforcement agency, but they are communicating with all of the locals. So the city of Cleveland, for instance, has $50 million that Congress appropriated to it to get riot gear, for instance, batons, all kinds of things to get ready for this mass influx of 50,000 or so people into their city. You also have off-duty cops coming to do provide security at hotels, and there's a lot of private events and concerts that are also going on, and they're kind of trying to coordinate with everybody from Secret Service to the FBI to the local police as well.
All right, so has the original plan that they may have crafted from, I don't know, let's say January, has that changed, or is an emergency event and you follow the protocol that's set in the pamphlet or stone or whatever?
I'm sure, as you can imagine, the Secret Service certainly isn't giving me or anyone their playbook for how they are going to react and how, you know, they are going to, you know, put together a plan for kind of specific instances or, you know, on the fly have to make changes. They say that, you know, these are big events when the Pope comes, for instance, that they're prepared for everything, you know, from a small incident to the worst possible, you know, imaginable thing happening.
Yeah, which would be what? Say like an actual terrorist attack, something like that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, they're really, I mean, circumspect in terms of giving details about what the worst case scenario could be. But, I mean, certainly when you look at everything from what happened in Boston, the Boston bombing, to, you know, if there would be somebody who was, you know, you could see a sniper or some, you know, some kind of a shooting happening, depending on what, you know, protests and different, you know, whether people agree with certain candidates or public officials.
We're speaking with Anna Palmer, senior Washington correspondent at Politico. Her story is called Security Officials Brace for GOP Convention and Trump Protests, mid-Trump protests, rather, and the Brussels attack. So has Brussels, has that thrown a wrinkle into any of these plans, or is it too hard to tell?
It's pretty hard to tell. I would say, I mean, certainly you saw in yesterday that the police were a presence in a lot of major cities and certainly at airports and at, you know, different monuments and things were increased. So I think those kinds of plans are already, you know, they're ready for those incidents to happen. So I don't think that there's a major shift based on what happened in Brussels to, you know, put the whole plan, you know, completely out of whack.
Right. All right. What about the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia?
Yeah, there certainly has been less focus on that. I think they prepare in a very similar fashion. There has been some protests at Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton rallies, the Black Lives Matter protesters, but they haven't gotten as physical, certainly. And so I think that is not as much of a concern. But, you know, getting the right perimeter for the event, where protesters are going to be, you know, kind of sanctioned to be, those things are definitely underway as well.
Thanks, Anna. Anna Palmer at Politico, 21 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Looking for the next place to grow or expand your business? Why not look to the state that went from 49th to 10th best in corporate business income tax, where 2,000 burdensome and unnecessary regulations were eliminated over the past 5 years, and is now home to the 6th best entrepreneurial climate. All this and more awaits you in the state of Michigan, the state that should be the number one choice of your business. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more.
When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy for you to create your stunning website. Go to Wix.com and create your website today. It's easy and free. That's Wix.com.
Glad you could spend some time with us on this Monday. Every time you climb behind the wheel of your car, do you wonder how much longer you'll actually have to do all the work? Self-driving cars are getting closer all the time. Yahoo Finance writer Rick Newman says while waiting for Google or Apple to turn out an autonomous car, the old traditional automakers have been sneaking out some interesting new technology that makes the cars of the present pretty cool too. Rick, catch us up to date.
This idea of self-driving cars, we keep hearing about this as a technology coming out of Silicon Valley. Google's getting into the business of automobiles, so is Apple apparently. But this technology is already sort of starting to show up on the roads, not from Silicon Valley, but from the boring old traditional automakers. And there was a recent voluntary agreement among all the big automakers in the United States that they will all have a thing called automatic emergency braking as standard equipment on all cars by 2022. That's only 6 years from now.
Wow.
And this is a feature that's already on some cars. You know, these things typically start to show up as options on more expensive cars, and then they work their way down. But there's already a fair amount of what you can fairly call self-driving technology that's showing up in cars. It is technology that can speed the car up or slow it down based on all the cars around you and your distance from other cars on the road. There are systems now that are in cars that can tell if you are drifting out of your lane and give you a notice to make sure you get back in your lane. It's only a small step from there to, once you've got all those sensors in place, it's a fairly small step to actually let the car steer you back into your lane. And so these things are coming out in sort of kind of a piecemeal fashion, one feature here, one feature there. But pretty soon, this is going to add up to something that actually looks like a car that drives itself.
We're speaking with Rick Newman, columnist for Yahoo Finance, and he's got a piece entitled Self-Driving Cars Are Closer Than You Think. Before we're fully automatic or autonomous is, I don't know, what, another 5 years or so, I think, maybe by one count? What are you hearing?
Probably a lot longer than that before. So if you're talking about a car where you get in and you don't have to do anything except read the paper or, you know, do your email on your phone, and the car gets itself completely from point A to point B, no matter what the conditions, that is pretty far away. I think probably fair to say more than 10 years away.
Okay.
But before we get there, we're going to have cars that can drive themselves in certain circumstances, such as on a highway. Let's say between, 35 and 70 miles per hour on a highway. That's actually a fairly predictable driving environment. And there's a feature that General Motors is going to put out next year called Super Cruise on some Cadillac models that will do exactly that. It will basically take over driving the car when you're on a highway in fairly predictable circumstances. And when you get beyond those parameters, then it will say, dear driver, you have to take control again. Another place where this might happen is in sort of stop-and-go city driving. That's also fairly predictable because you're generally going at a slow speed, and sensors can do a pretty good job of figuring out everything that's around you 360 degrees.
Yeah.
And you just have to speed up, slow down, for the most part, stay in the same lane. So that's another thing that cars will be doing very soon.
Is it typically the luxury or higher-end automakers that are adapting this technology more quickly in their vehicles?
Yes, it is. Mercedes has some of this, BMW, Infiniti, Tesla, and like I said, Cadillac. So those are all more expensive vehicles, and that just makes sense. You know, this is expensive, but it's getting cheaper because it is computers, and it's subject to all the scale we're familiar with processors getting better and faster and so forth and cheaper.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman, who's based in New York. 13 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending some time with us. 8 minutes before the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Court in Brussels, prosecutors today charged three more people with participating in a terrorist group after a series of raids following bomb attacks on Brussels airport and a metro train last week. Yesterday, authorities announced they were holding four people following 13 new raids in and around Brussels and Antwerp. A total of four Americans have been confirmed killed in last week's attacks. The White House says President Obama telephoned the parents of Justin and Stephanie Schultz. The husband and wife had just dropped her mother off at the Brussels airport and were watching her walk through security when the bombs went off. Betty Newsom is Stephanie's aunt.
It's just terrible that someone that is that kind of a person would be killed by such a senseless act.
Two Dutch siblings who lived in New York were also among the dead. As the Republican presidential primary continues its descent into tabloid-level smears, GOP frontrunner Donald Trump is laying all the blame on Ted Cruz. Trump told ABC he's not responsible for a National Enquirer article that claims Cruz has had numerous affairs.
I had nothing to do whatsoever with the National Enquirer, and neither did the campaign. And I will tell you, for him to try and say that I had to do with it, try and put the shoe on the other foot, is disgraceful. And by the way, he's the one that started it.
Cruz called the National Enquirer report garbage. A volcanic eruption in Alaska sent ash 20,000 feet up in the air and has prompted flight warnings. The Pavlov volcano, located located on the Aleutian Islands, began erupting abruptly yesterday afternoon. The aviation warning remains at its highest level. The first league to play six teams in the round of 16 now has two in the final four. ACC members Syracuse and North Carolina have moved on in the big dance, with the Orange upsetting Virginia last night and the Tar Heels eliminating Notre Dame. North Carolina coach Roy Williams.
I've always appreciated every single day in the NCAA tournament that with each level you go, the stakes get a little higher, you get a little more excitement, a little more intensity level in your practices, a little more attention from the players.
Also in the national semifinals, Oklahoma and Villanova.
I've had some bad tournaments in terms of picking brackets.
You and everybody else
this
in
one
this one.
Might be the worst.
Yeah.
Might be the worst.
A lot of people.
Zero in the Final Four. Oh for Final Four. How many did you get in?
I had Oklahoma.
You had Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And going to the finals, right?
Yes.
So you can still roll up some points here.
Oh, it's over.
It was pretty good, though.
It's been over a long time ago.
Been disastrous for most people. 6 minutes now in front of the hour.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy for you to create your stunning website. Go to Wix.com and create your website today. It's easy and free. That's Wix.com.
The Final Four of the NCAA tournament features Villanova versus Oklahoma in one semifinal, North Carolina versus Syracuse in the other. It's a mix of feel-good and acting bad stories, as the LA Times reports. North Carolina has been soldiering on in the face of looming sanctions for almost 5 years. Syracuse dealing with its own NCAA troubles, investigated for alleged improprieties, ranging from academic misconduct to impermissible benefits. On the other side, Villanova had gained reputation for collapse, but it's making amends now. Nova will have a rematch with Oklahoma, which beat them by 23 earlier in the season. The Sooners feature the extremely likable superstar, Buddy Hield. The Final Four begins Saturday evening in Houston. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.